Let's stand for the reading of God's Word. John chapter 17, verse 3. Brethren, this is the Word of God. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Amen. Please be seated. And I plead the Lord grant his blessing to the reading of this passage. Children, especially in these coming messages, I want you to look at me through the whole message. That may be a little hard, but that's what I want you to do. Parents, I would like for you to encourage and watch your children to make sure they're giving careful attention. Beloved children, a long time ago, a man named John wrote the words we just read. Jesus spoke these words. Later, John wrote them down. The Holy Spirit helped John write these words. Later, they were put together in a book. The words we have read are in a book that John wrote, and we call it the Gospel According to St. John. John's Gospel tells us about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. But why did he write this Gospel? Have you ever wondered why certain men wrote the things that are in the Bible? John tells us why. He says, "But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ." Let me read that again. "These are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name." Now, John wanted people young and old to have what he calls life. The life that John is talking about is a life that will go on forever. Those who have this life will live forever with God and Jesus in a beautiful world where no bad things exist. There is no sickness there. No one suffers there. People are joyful and love one another in that world. No lying, no anger, no hatred, no selfishness, no stealing, no sorrow exists in that world. No wicked people and no bad things will ever be in that world. That's hard to believe, isn't it? Dear children, some things are hard to believe, aren't they? I can remember when I was a little boy that someone told me God did not have a beginning. He also told me that God's life had no ending. No beginning and no ending. That was hard to believe. Pretty green clover grew in the front yard of my home. I would lie on my back in the clover, and there I would think about God. On hot summer days, the clover was cool to my skin. I would gaze up and look at those clouds. And I would try to think about God. No matter how hard I tried, it was hard to believe that God never had a beginning. How hard it was to believe that God never dies. My grandpa died. Many people die. Sometimes adults tell children things that are very hard to believe, don't they? Now let me tell you something else that might be hard for you to believe. I was once as young as you are. Is that hard to believe? Well, maybe. But it is true. Now, I want you to think with me for just a minute, children. Let's all put our minds together and think as one. Children like to play, don't they? I used to play as a child, even as you do. Children like to talk to their friends, don't they? I used to speak as a child, even as you do now. What is more, I used to understand as a child. And sometimes I would misunderstand because I was a child, just like you do. The Apostle Paul once said, "When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child." I know what he meant. Now, as I said, when I was a child, adults sometimes told me things that I could not understand. Just like God having no beginning. Now I have grown up. I am an adult. And maybe I say things that you do not understand, children. Sometimes. Is that so? I'm sure most of you would say yes. Well then, because I used to understand and think as you do, I want to try, as an adult, to speak very plainly. Now, let me tell you why I want you to understand me. I want you to know God. Your parents want you to know God. Other people who know God want you to know God. Remember, that's why John wrote his gospel. He wants you to know that Jesus said, "This is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." Jesus wants his people to know God, and Jesus wants his people to know him. Even children. Now, for this reason, I want to speak plainly and simply to you. I want you to know God and Jesus Christ, his Son. But no matter how simply I speak, the Holy Spirit must help me. And the Holy Spirit must help you to hear and to understand. So by the Spirit's help, I want to bring you some messages from God's book. Some of the things that we talk about will be hard to believe. Some will be hard to understand. Yet, the Holy Spirit can help us. I know this. So my prayer is that you and your parents will pray very hard. Children, I want you to pray very hard. That God, the Holy Spirit, will use these messages. Let us pray that he will help us know him. I must tell you something else, children. I want you to know God, but I have never seen Him. I want you to know God, but I've never touched Him or smelled Him or heard Him with these ears. The most important thing in life is that you know God. And yet, we can't touch or see or hear Him with these ears. I haven't seen Him, and neither have you. John even wrote in another part of his gospel, "No man hath seen God at any time." Well, if this is true, you might ask, how can I know God? And that's the title of this sermon. And all of our sermons in this series will be questions. How can I know God? That is what we will think about. Now, let me tell you three ways that we may learn about God. Parents, I encourage you to talk with your children about these three things after the message and throughout the week. Here are the three ways that we may learn about God. God's creation, God's book, and God's Son. That's simple. God's creation, God's book, and God's Son. I think most of the children here could easily repeat those in an hour. Well, let's think about God's creation first. Beloved children, I want to ask you a question. Everybody listen. Are there places in the world that you have never seen? Would you say yes? Have you heard of China? Yes? Anybody here ever been there? No? Then how do you know it is there? You know because other people have been there and have seen it. You know because they have written stories about it. Perhaps you have read a book about a faraway place that you have never seen. We know that there are continents, countries, and cities that we have never seen, yet we know they're there. Are there forces in the world that you have never seen? Yes. We have all felt the wind blowing, haven't we? Everybody here has felt the wind at some time. We have all seen the wind blow through the leaves in the trees. We have seen the wind pushing great big clouds. But can we see the wind? No. We know that there is such a thing as wind, even though we have never seen it. John writes in our text that life eternal is to know God and to know Jesus, and yet we have never seen them. That means that we must learn some things about Him. But how can we know Him if we cannot see Him? Now, one way is that we can see the world that He made. The Apostle Paul tells us, "For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen." How do you see invisible things? We see the things that God has made. Paul means this: even though our eyes cannot see God, we can see the world that He made. ever since God made everything, people have understood that He is. Every person that's ever been born and ever will be born knows this. They might not believe this when they get older, but it is so. We can see the beauty of the sunrise. We can see the beauty of a sunset. The majesty of God's great mountains and deep valleys may stir our hearts. We can enjoy the light of the sun. We can look at the moon. We can take a telescope and look at the stars. And some of you perhaps do that. We may gaze at a pretty rainbow. We may roll in lush green grass. We may pick colorful flowers and smell their lovely fragrance. Paul says that when people see all these things, they can understand that God has great wisdom and that He has great power. Who cannot see that this world is full of the things God has made? Again, the Bible says to us, the heavens declare the glory of God. Children, when you look at this amazing world all around us, when you look up at the universe, the stars, the sky, in the sky, they're all talking to you. God says that every one of them is saying to you, and you know it in your heart, that He is there. Now, why does Paul tell us this? He is telling us that no one can make the excuse, I did not know there was a God. Children, every one of you, everyone, knows by the things that God has made that He is. He has made a sermon in the things He's made so that you know He's there. However, there's a problem. We can see from what God has made that He is there. We see that He lives. But knowing that He is not the same thing as knowing Him. You can know by the things God makes that He is, but that is not the same as knowing Him. When Jesus said that life eternal is knowing God, He meant more than just knowing about God. When Jesus said that life eternal is knowing God, He meant more than just knowing that God is. You and I have heard that Mr. George W. Bush is the President of the United States. Do we all know that? Most of us do, don't we? Some of our very young ones may not. But let me ask you a question. If you know that he is our president, have you ever met him? Has he invited you to his home? Does he call you on the phone? Talk with you? Has he told you the story of his life? No? But we know that Mr. Bush is. Yet none of us here knows him personally, do we? We don't have the experience of knowing him. Now, here is the point. We can know that someone lives we can know that someone is. And we can know that without ever knowing that person. Parents, you can explain that to your children, can you not? So we can tell that someone made this universe. We can tell that someone is wise. Oh, just look at the way our bodies work. What wisdom in the way we're made. Look at the way nature works. Look at the way the animals live and do the remarkable things that they do. When we look at the things all around us, we can tell whoever made this is very wise. And we can tell that he's very powerful. Because we can't make any of the things he's made. Right? So knowing that God is does not mean that we have life eternal. You are blessed, children, because every one of you has grown up in a home where mommy and daddy have told you that God is. But don't be confused. Just because you know some things about God does not yet mean that you have life eternal. And John wants his readers to have life eternal. And Jesus wants his people to have life eternal. So we must still ask, how can I know God? I can know about him by looking at what he has made. But I don't know him personally by what he has made. And that brings us to think about then God's book. God's creation teaches us about God. But my dear children, a better way to know God is to read and believe God's book. The Bible alone is God's word. We cannot know God the way he really is without reading and believing his book. We may learn many things about God from the things he made, but they are not enough for us to have life eternal. That's found in his book. The Bible is a holy library of 66 books. And you should know every one of them. The Holy Spirit of God worked in the hearts of some men that he chose. Every one of those 66 books came from God, working in the hearts of men that he chose. Paul wrote, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Now, what does Paul mean by inspiration? Right, children? Listen carefully. Paul means God helped men write down what he wanted people to know. Men didn't think it up. God guided men to write what he wanted them to know. God speaks through his word. We can look at a tree all day long, and we can say, that is a beautiful, beautiful creation. But it doesn't tell me the things I need to know to have life eternal. God's book does. While I may love all the things that God has made, I should love His book, and you should love His book above all things. God's book is truth. This holy book teaches us about what God is really like. It teaches us about people and why they do bad things. Children, do you wonder sometimes why you do bad things? God's book is a mirror. And if you look in this mirror long enough, you'll find you. You'll find out why you do what you do. God wants you to know. God's book teaches us why our world is the way it is. Why are there sad things in this world? Why are there bad things in this world? We see many good things, but so often they seem to be stolen away by sad things and by bad things. Why? All we have to do is read God's book and believe God's book. What would happen if we could read every book in the world? God says we still wouldn't know enough. What would happen if we only read the Bible and no other book? God says we will have all the treasures of wisdom. That's hard to believe, isn't it? That's very hard to believe. Some of us don't believe it. Jesus himself said, praying to his Father, sanctify them by or through thy truth. Now, sanctify, children, is a word that means to set apart. Jesus is saying, set them apart from everybody else by your truth. Make them holy by your truth. Children, do you want to be different? Well, that's what young people often say. Oh, I want to be different. I will tell you how to be different. Believe all 66 books in this Bible, and you will be different. But it's not just a matter of being different. You will be different because if you believe what you read, you will know God, and that will make you a different person. Jesus then said, thy word is truth. The Bible, then, is the most important book in the world. There are a lot of books that have been written, and yet God says this is the most important one. That's hard to believe, isn't it? God says so. By knowing God's word, we can know God and Jesus Christ, whom he sent. We will know God if we read and believe his Bible. Some of you read the Bible because mom and daddy require it. But if mom and daddy didn't require it, you would never pick it up. That tells you something about your heart.
That tells you that you don't really want to know God. But this is the sad truth. If you don't want to know God, you cannot know life eternal. You should read the Bible. You should study the Bible. You should memorize the Bible. You should pray about the Bible. You should believe every word of the Bible with your whole heart, children. With your whole heart. Satan will try to discourage you. Satan will whisper that you cannot understand it. Satan will tell you that playing is more important than reading the Bible. There's nothing wrong with playing, but children would rather play than do serious and important things. And the Bible says that. Even a child is known by his doings. Satan will tell you that loving the things of the world are more important than loving God, or is more important than loving God. Satan will tell you that knowing people, maybe even famous people in the world, is more important than knowing God. But these are lies. One of the things we'll talk about as we work through our messages is the vital importance of you being able to know the difference between what's true and what's a lie. Let me tell you now, this is the truth that never changes. Learn God's book, and you will have the truth. And then you will have something by which you can understand lies and truth. By knowing God's Word, we can know Jesus Christ. By knowing Jesus Christ, we will have life eternal. Well, for this reason, you should love the Bible more than money. You should love the Bible more than playing. It's all right to play, but you should love the Bible more. You should love the Bible more than sleep or food or anything else. You say, well, that's hard to believe. Yes, it is. It's hard to believe, but it is the truth. There's nothing wrong with sleeping, but it can become a sin. There's nothing wrong with eating, but it can become a sin. And all of these things that may in themselves be good will someday all be gone. They will all pass away. But your soul will live forever. And so will the truth. Learn the truth now. Because then it will be too late. When we love the Bible, when we read and study and pray about the Bible, and believe the Bible, we may know God's Son. And that's our last thought. God's Son. God's creation teaches us many things about God. God's Word tells us the truth, and it tells us especially the truth about Jesus Christ, God's Son. This is the most important thing about the Bible. It is about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Jesus himself said so. He said, all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Now, children, there are some things in the Bible that are hard to understand, even for adults that have studied it for a long time. But I can tell you one simple truth that you should have in your heart every day of your life. from Genesis to Revelation. This book is about the one who can save your soul. That's why you want to know it. All these things must be fulfilled concerning me. The entire Bible is about Jesus in one way or another. Sometimes it isn't clear. Sometimes it's difficult to understand. We may think of it this way. The first part of the Bible, the Old Testament, is about God's promise made. Children, you can remember that, can't you? God's promise made. And the other part of the Bible, the New Testament, is about God's promise fulfilled. Now, what does this mean? Well, it means this. God promised to send someone to defeat the devil. God promised to send someone strong who could save his people from the devil. But more importantly, he's strong and he's mighty to save his people from the bad things they do. And that someone is Jesus Christ. Jesus the Christ, the Son of God. The Old Testament promised that Christ would come, and God kept his promise. The New Testament tells us that Christ came. In other words, the whole Bible says you can trust what God says, especially about his Son. Now, Jesus came to do whatever God the Father told him to do. Now, children, let me get your attention again for a minute. Can you imagine a son that does everything that his father tells him to do? That's hard to believe, isn't it? But it's true. He thought what his father wanted him to do. He said what his father wanted him to say. And he did everything his father told him to do. Without arguing, without complaining, and he did it with joy. That's really hard to believe, because the most important thing he wanted his son to do was to die. Now, when we say that Jesus is the Son of God, what does that mean? We mean that the one we call Jesus was God's Son before God ever made the world. Jesus wasn't somebody that God created. He's always been, and he always will be. And I find myself in the clover looking up and wondering, how can that be? But it is. It is. Jesus himself never had a beginning, and Jesus will never have an ending. But there's more. There's more. That very same one who never had an beginning and never had an ending became a man. And men have beginnings and endings. Jesus, the man, had a beginning and a mother. He was born in a dirty stable. And he had an ending But it was a very different ending than other men have. The one who became the man Jesus was God and is God. He was man and he is man. That's hard to believe, isn't it? And even when you're an adult, that will always be difficult to understand. But you know what, children? The truth of God teaches it. It's there, page after page. Jesus is the God-man. Jesus, the God-man, came into the world. Jesus, the eternal Son of God, became Jesus, the Son of Man. But why did he do this? This is really hard to believe. But listen carefully, children. Listen carefully. Jesus became a man because he wanted to do something that God can't do. Let me say that again. Jesus became a man so that he could do something that God can't do. Do you know what that was? He became a man so that he could die. God can't die. He doesn't have a beginning. And he doesn't have an end. But Jesus, the God-man, as a man, died. Jesus became a man so that he could die a painful death. A death upon a cross in a place called Calvary. He was treated very badly by wicked people. Many people hated him, and all he had ever done was good. That's hard to believe, isn't it? Jesus never did anything bad. And yet most hated him. Many people wanted him to die. And die he did. Beloved children, I must tell you something very hard to believe. Jesus became a man, and Jesus died a terrible, painful death. Why? To forgive those who hate him. He didn't die for people that love him. He didn't die for nice people. He died for very, very bad people. Jesus died in the place of bad people like you and like me. God's book says we deserve to die because of the bad things we've thought. Children, you've thought some bad things before, haven't you? You've thought some bad things about your mom and dad. You've thought some bad things about other people, maybe your brothers and sisters. God says we deserve to die for that. God's word says that we deserve to die because of mean things that we've said. Children, have you ever talked back to your mommy and daddy? Have you ever said mean things to your brothers, your sisters, your friends? Have you said bad things about other people behind their backs? God says we deserve to die. And we deserve to die for the wicked things we have done. Things we've thought, things we've said, things we've done show that we don't love God and that we don't believe his book. And that's why we need to know Jesus Christ. He's the only one that has life eternal. That's the only way we can get life eternal, is to know Him. And here's where you find Him. We deserve to die for the things we've thought and said and done, and Jesus does not deserve to die. Yet He died for people as bad as me and as bad as you. Children, some of you are drifting. And I know this is a little longer, perhaps, than you're used to paying attention. But we're almost finished. Jesus' death was different from everybody else's, because after 3 days, He rose again. There's some very famous people in the world that have died, and we don't hear from them anymore. But Jesus Christ is alive. He did what His Father wanted Him to do, and He died in the place of bad people. And God made Him alive again. And then He later took Him up to heaven. That's hard to believe, isn't it? You know, there's some adults that don't believe that. But it's what the Bible teaches. It is the truth. God's Word says that anyone who believes Jesus will have life eternal. When someone believes that Jesus is the Christ, God forgives all the bad things that person has done. He forgives all the bad things that person will ever do. Because of the change that the Holy Spirit makes in a person's heart, that person will live forever with God in this life and then in that world that we talked about that is so beautiful. And we will talk more about that life in our studies ahead. Well, what then do we mean by life eternal? What did Jesus mean? Well, He meant a lot of things. But there are four things I want you to think about. Four. That's not too many. After the change that the Holy Spirit makes inside, four things happen. Number one, we believe that Jesus is the Christ. We'll believe Him. We'll believe what He says. Two, God will forgive us of all the wicked things we've ever thought, said, or done. Number three, God's Holy Spirit will live in us forever so that we make it to that glorious world forever with Christ. And number four, we will know God and Jesus forever. We'll know Him now, but we'll know Him fully then. That's hard to believe. But when the Holy Spirit makes that change in our hearts, we believe every one of these things. And we begin to live those things. That is what Jesus was praying about. Jesus prayed that we would know Him, that we would have new hearts, that we would believe on Him, that we would be forgiven of all our wickedness. The Holy Spirit would live within us forever, and we would know Him and His Father forever. The Old Testament is the promise made. The New Testament is the promise kept. You can believe Jesus for these things. So, dear children, we may learn many things about God by looking at the pretty world he made. But to have life eternal, we must know him in his word. And most of all, we must know him in his Son, Jesus Christ, the God-man. Let me tell you something about the God-man. He said, "Let the little children come to me." The youngest child can believe Jesus. So let us believe on him. And let us have, by God's mercy and grace, life eternal. Let's pray. Lord, we see your creation and we know you're there. We open up your book and we look and we find out that we are very bad people. But as we look, we find out that you have made a promise and you have kept it in your Son, Jesus Christ. And you have made another promise that those who believe on him will have everlasting life. Father, breathe thy Holy Spirit on this place, and may we believe unto life eternal. In Jesus' name, amen.